No More Flying Solo, a merger for Continental and United.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Bill Radke. Continental and United Airlines have just announced a deal to merge. It's worth more than $3 billion and would create the world's largest airline. Here to talk about this with us is our own Brett Neely in Washington, D.C. He joins us live. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Brett, will I now be flying United or Continental, or how is this going to work?
You'll be flying both, so to speak. The planes will have a Continental paint job with the United name in the Continental font that we're all familiar with. You can actually see a picture of what the paint job will look like online on their website.
Why a merger, though? Continental and United are already part of the same alliance.
Well, there's a few reasons. They can cut costs by cutting some routes and dropping some of those big expensive hub airports. Then there's also the other cost savings from cutting back office jobs like accounting and human resources. It's more layoffs for an industry that's had plenty this decade. And the new airline will also have more power to raise ticket prices and other fees.
Right, like checked bag fees and everything like that. How is that likely to affect passengers?
The short answer, fewer flights, higher ticket prices. One bank estimated Continental and United could cut capacity by about 8%. But, you know, we have to remember, even though we've seen fares go up in the last couple of years, the airline industry says fares are just half of what they were about 30 years ago. And we have budget carriers like Southwest and JetBlue that have done a good job of keeping fares low and pressure on the big airlines to match those low fares.
How is the rest of the airline industry expected to respond to this merger?
Well, if the deal goes through, there will be just four full-service big airlines left: United, Delta, American, and US Air. Both American and US Air will be in a really tough position because they don't offer the same range of destinations as Delta and United do. So we could see more mergers within a few years and have just two or three big carriers left.
Brett Neely in Washington, D.C. Brett, thank you.
Thank you, Stacey.
The International Monetary Fund has agreed to give $147 billion in aid to Greece. That's more than double what was being talked about last week. About $40 billion of that would come from the IMF, and the rest would come from other European countries. Greece says it's doing its part, like boosting its sales tax to 23% and raising retirement ages for some public sector workers. Unions are already talking protest. And European markets are off this Monday morning. Germany's DAX is down 0.6%. Paris's CAC 40 is off 0.9%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended last week down 0.4% to close at 11,008. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 0.4% today. That after China ordered banks to increase their cash reserves. The country wants to take some currency out of circulation to dampen inflation and rein in real estate prices. Those have gone way up in recent months. Another attempt to do that echoes China's one-child policy. You can now only own one home in Beijing. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The Chinese central government gave cities like Beijing a directive: slow the runaway property market. Now, each family can only buy one apartment in the city. Many investors, both here and abroad, saw a bubble building. The average Chinese mortgage is 14 times a person's annual income. In the U.S., it's about half that. Economist Frank Sung at the University of Hong Kong says the rule targets wealthy Chinese property flippers.
There's some bubbles, especially in the high-end properties. So with this policy, it will change some of the expectations of speculators.
This policy actually has several pieces. Banks have to keep more cash in reserve and lend less. Home buyers have to bring more cash as down payment, 30% instead of 20%. Song says credit's been too easy in China, even though that was by design. Here's economist Glenn McGuire at the bank Societe Generale.
It has been the very intensive construction and housing model that has created jobs in the Chinese economy in the post-global recession period.
Anticipation of a cooler housing market has led Chinese stocks down 12% this year. But business professor Patrick Chovanec at Tsinghua University thinks it could get even worse. Mortgage loans could go bad.
The worry that I have is that there'll be a lot of incentive to sort of brush it under the rug. And this is precisely what happened in Japan after their real estate bubble burst.
Bad loans in Japan festered for a decade, what we now call the lost decade. Chinese policymakers hope they have found their solution. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This week, the Senate takes a look at the financial reform bill. Some amendments call for a radical restructuring of the nation's banking system, and reformers are using anti-bank sentiment to justify some of those strategies. John Dimsdale reports.
Senators will propose to cut banks down to size, tax them, and even ban some of their products. But Tennessee Republican Bob Corker has already raised the danger of going too far.
I know there's a lot of populism, and it sounds really great that we're going to take on Wall Street, but I think what we need to remember is we may be taking on the heartland.
Corker says U.S. exporters need banks big enough to compete globally, and limits on bank derivative trading, for example, would merely send that lucrative business overseas. Chicago investment counselor Marshall Front advises Congress to take a longer look at reforms.
Rather than at a time when populism is white hot and incumbents are fearful of not being reelected and therefore have to jump onto the bandwagon.
He says banks already have plenty of rules and regulators should concentrate on enforcing them. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a hacker on the loose selling Facebook accounts. Criminals buy them and send them spam or use them to commit fraud. They come pretty cheap. How cheap, though, depends on how popular you are. 1,000 accounts of people with 10 friends or less will cost $25. More than 10 friends, that'll cost you $45. Apparently, high school really never does end. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.